Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello there and welcome back to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on the evening of the 2nd of April. We're just a few days out from third league derby of the season, which sees Celtic travel to Ibrox, looking to get a massive 3 points in this title race. Delighted to say that it's myself, Darren, here, and it's a full compliment joining me. I've got Tony, Andy and Danny. So we're going to cover a lot in this episode. We'll look at how we think Sunday's going to pan out, who we think the team will be, and maybe have a wee talk about the allocations going up next season as well. Andy, I'll come to you first. It's obviously a massive game. I don't think I'd say it's do or die yet. I think it's very important for Celtic not to lose the game on Sunday, given that although we're top of the league, Rangers have a game in hand. If they win, which most expect they will do next week against Dundee, would see them a quite reasonable advantage going into the last six games of the league season. What's your thoughts on this big game at Ibrox on Sunday?
As you say, I don't think it's quite do or die. The way team both of these have sort of dropped points throughout the season, you wouldn't be surprised if we both did again to one of the other teams in top six post-split. But it's massively important, particularly because it's all still in our hands. Because if we win all games the rest of the season, we win the league, it's as simple as that. They are a point behind us for a game in hand. But winning that game is massive, because the game in hand still wouldn't then put them top of the league. But I do agree with you, avoiding defeat isn't a complete disaster. Draw wouldn't be the worst result, but we're all going to want to win it. And that, I think that would be massive. I think it would be more decisive for the title if we won it than they did, given that obviously there's an argument play them and that's going to be a parkade. But aye, it's huge, and obviously we're coming into it in better shape than we could have been. There's obviously players coming back for injury. It was good to see Yatati back. I mean, Tony spoke about his importance, and again, I think he's going to be a hugely important player. I just think we're a better team. We tick better when he's in the team, and he's got that in him to unlock a defence and make things happen. So looking forward to him obviously being in the pitch and going to come down to. I've not heard if McGregor's a go yet. Obviously, he didn't play against Livingston, but I don't know sort of where we're at with that, if there's potential of him playing or if we might be downplaying his injury a bit to throw him in the team. But I reckon that the team's probably going to be pretty much identical to the team that played against Livingston. I think McGregor would really be the only one that, if he's fit, which is probably harsh in a whack, who's been pretty good. I thought he was good against Livy, decent against St Johnston in that role. And that's really where he always wants to play. It's just difficult when your captain's there and somebody's good and as effective as McGregor. But if he's fit, there's no question about it, really. But I think aside for that, the team's probably that went against Livingston's probably the team you will see. I think it's deserving. Obviously, Coons came onto a game. Kyogo, you know what he's got in his locker. And what you would expect to be a mere open game, where a mere open defence, where they will be a bit higher up the park than we usually play week in, week out. That's what he can exploit. We've already seen him do it against them. In Maeda again, sort of tries to nullify their right hand side and keep Tavernier back. And obviously his pace is similar to Kyogo, just effective in behind, and I suspect there will be spaces. But that's the team I would go with, and I do think that. But I think it's a hugely important game, and I think the thing that benefits us, Darren, is we've got so much experience in games like this and so much experience in winning games like this. We're getting into it, and really there's only going to be one, potentially two players in the starting 11 that haven't sort of been through this before. If you look at like Kun, and then again if like another sort of player like Bernardo, obviously he's played and scored against Rangers, but I mean like the sort of crunch time of the season, a massive game, like the rest of them have sort of been there, seen it and done it, which is huge. Like, experience matters a lot in these games. But I'm pretty confident getting into it. Obviously, like everybody else, you're fearing the worst, but I know that we've got the ability, and if we play the ability, that we'll win, because we are a better team. But I am just glad that we're slowly but surely starting to get everybody back, and we're looking to, obviously, if McGregor makes it, we're getting in with a sort of fully fit team.
I think you're right. I think we, in terms of injuries, it's probably Cal McGregor is back. It would be as close to full fitness as we've been probably for the best part of this season. Tony, I'll bring you in. It's obviously early in the week, but I know that nerves start to ramp up about this time, if they've not already, and especially given how tight the title race is at this point. How's your initial thoughts on it? Obviously, Andy mentioned the players having experience, that having a good record there recently as well. None more so than Brendan Rodgers himself. I think he's got an 83% win record at Ibrox. Do you expect that we'll go there and add to that? Or just in general, how's your thoughts on this big game on Sunday coming up?
It's a difficult one. I mean, if you'd asked me a month ago, I would probably have said fucking 5-0 Rangers or something like that. I go back to the weekend that Hearts beat us when they lost at home to Motherwell. I just found that a really interesting result. I know we get beat the day after, but that gave me a wee bit of hope. And I remember saying, even if we don't beat Hearts, that's still something I'm going to kind of cling on to a bit, because I just found it just such a bizarre result when they were flying and had the chance to go kind of five ahead. But, I mean, I think we can win. I think on Sunday we were quite good in the second half. I think Rangers will come at us. They might suit us, because if you look at the front three, you've got Maida, who I think I touched on, one of the most frustrating players ever. His pressing's exceptional, though. You've got Kyogo, who's already scored two against him this season and got quite a few against him last season as well, and is able to get in behind at Ibrox, as we've already seen back in September. And then you've got Kun, who's started to improve and looks quite tricky. Of course, it's a different kettle of fish when he's got 50,000 baying for blood as he tries to take players on. But if he wants to be a success at Celtic, he'll need to cope with that, and he'll need to put on a performance. So I think Maida will be used to pin back Tavernier, as much as we kind of, everybody's a bit of a laugh at Tavernier. His numbers are pretty exceptional for a right back. So keeping him pinned back would be quite a benefit to us, because it stops him attacking, and he's defending. We know he can be got at. I think left back, I think the fella Yilmaz is back, so Kun will be up against him, I think. So hopefully he can take him on. As we've seen, he does have really good pace, and him and Alistair Johnson seem to link up quite well, which is a bonus. I don't really feel particularly nervous. I don't know how I feel. I mean, I think I'm just glad we're still really right in the title race, because I've said quite a few times, I don't think we've done anything right this season. I think the board have done loads wrong. I think the manager's made mistakes. I think the players have made loads of mistakes. And I feel that we're still in there, a good chance here. So I guess I probably expected we might be further behind by this point. I think it is a massive game. I think if they win it, then they're pretty much just about there, I think, because you would assume they'd win their game in hand, and then the league would be taken out of our hands, and I think then it would be about trying to stop them winning the treble, which is not a very good thought, but hey-ho, we've had our fair share of trebles recently ourselves. So but I think we've been like that all season, where we've kind of teetered on the edge of, is it all going to go tits up, and are we just going to fully go for the board or something like that? I'm hoping that doesn't happen, obviously. I'm hoping we win, and I think if we win, we become strong favourites for the title, because they would need then be 4 points behind and need to go to Dundee with their kind of heads down, which could end up tricky for them, and then we would play again before they play, so there would be the chance to kind of ramp up the pressure in that regard. So and a draw, just I think the draw favours us, even though it keeps us 2 points behind, because if you go in form and kind of records, the record at Celtic Park against Rangers in the last I don't want to say 14 years because people say they've only been gone for 12, but our record in derby games the last 14 years of Celtic Park has been pretty good, apart from the COVID season. I think they beat us then, they beat us 2019 and 2010 as well. So it's a huge opportunity for the players. I think if you can go there and win, it gives you such a great kind of impetus for the last six games to really kick on. I'm glad to see Hatate back. Glad that Carter Vickers is okay as far as we know. If McGregor's fit and he wants to play him, I think I would take a Riley out before I would take a Watt out. I know a lot of people probably disagree with that, but I think a Watt has been fine. I think McGregor, the last two derbies, to be fair, he has control, but I wouldn't like to play him if he's only kind of half fit, because he could easily get overrun. If you would have heard the guy, Diamandi's decent, Lundstrom's had a good season. I don't really know about Cantwell. I know he's had some injury problems and he was really poor at Celtic Park, but I'm sure he could still be dangerous. I think for us, it's just about playing smart. And you've seen it at Ibrox the first game of the season, where once we get control in the game, we were a much better team. But then Lagerbielka fucked about and he scored. Luckily, it was disallowed. I just think we could be dealing with stuff like that. You know they're going to come on to us. I think we should just be looking to, if I'm playing Hatate, if it's me, I think Hatate should play if he's fit. For me, I'm just looking to get the ball into him, get him turning and just going long every time, going in behind. Try and get Maeda running in behind, Kyogo and behind Goldson and Suter and Kuhn in behind Yilmaz and just keeping that up. I'm not trying to pass the ball to death and playing it for Scales, to Hart, to Vickers, to Taylor. Because you've got to get caught. Now, that's a dead cert, because they're just the pressure and their fans all kind of piling it on. It's bound to be a couple that just get out of play and give them a lift, and we could really be doing more, giving them any sort of confidence whatsoever. So I think that would be my strategy, would be if McGregor's fit, I would play him a bit further forward with Hatate. And there I would have a Watt in the middle, but just be trying to get the ball to the likes of McGregor and Hatate to play the ball in behind as often as possible. Oh yeah, I'm quite excited for it, I guess. I'm just glad that we're still in with a chance. Even if we lose, I don't think it's totally over. Obviously it'd be hard to claw back, but a good chance the first or second game of the split will be against them at Celtic Park, and if you could beat them, you would be able to close the gap again. But we should really be looking at going in and winning it. And hopefully they fall to bits and we can look to try and win the title and win hopefully the Scottish Cup as well. But aye, send it on and we'll see how it goes. I've got a couple of predictions. We'll obviously get to that. She'll talk about the referee appointment and all the other stupid stuff. Celtic could definitely win that game.
Aye, definitely. As you say, plenty to get through. Danny, I'll come at you. How are you feeling in it? As has been mentioned, like our sort of problems this season have came against other teams for 6 for 6 in terms of points against them in the league, so expect that to be 9 out of 9 come Sunday.
It's a bit of an odd one because it's a massive game at such a big time in the season, but the pressure's all on Rangers. I mean, any other result than a Rangers win, and it's advantage Celtic for the league, because a draw keeps us behind, even I know we'll be in front, but they've got a game in hand, but we've still got to play them at Parkhead. If we beat them, then their game in hand is irrelevant, and they need to come to Parkhead and beat us. So the pressure's on them immensely, and it's up to see how they handle that. The pressure, and we've seen it over the last couple of years, they don't deal with pressure very well. So it's kind of shaping up to be an exciting game. I think they'll need to come out. They tried to. I know the first time was Beale at Ibrox, and according to them, he made a bit of an asset, but Clement sat off us in December. And a fully firing Celtic, 2 goals up and a man up, we'd probably have scored 3 or 4 more that day. But we've no been like that all season. So Rodgers has kind of had their number this season, albeit we've done it with kind of limited capacity. So I'm interested to see what Rodgers has got lined up. The question is obviously McGregor, Hatate, Iwata. You know, if McGregor's fit, he'll definitely play. And then it's Hatate or Iwata. And Iwata's played really well recently. But he did have a bit of a shocker at Tynecastle, so... If he wants to, I mean, I would play Hatate, and hopefully Hatate can give you 65, 70, where a goal up, and then you can bring Iwata on to keep the ball late on. But I'm excited for it. As the season was limbering up the last couple of months, I was thinking, if we go into this game at least 2 behind, or it looks like we're going to go in top of the league, even though they've got a game in hand, then I would be quite happy with that. But I'd take a nut in each of them if you offered me, to be honest. I mean, as long as we've got it in our hands at Parkhead against them, bear in mind they have no fans there. After a split, you know, we'd put ourselves in a right good position. But of course you want to win. Of course, you know, you want to put us top. As Tony said, they need to go to Dundee on Wednesday night. They'll be feeling done if they get beat. You know, there's every chance they could drop more points there. And you're thinking, well, know that the league would be over at that point, absolutely not. But, you know, they might just chuck it. And we, you know, we could kind of, you've got Sitman in at home, you beat them, you're at least, say they draw with Dundee, you're at least think maybe four clear or something. With this split, you've got a wee cushion where you can go and, you know, drop points somewhere else, know that we would want to. But all of a sudden, things start looking a lot rosier. So it's massive what can happen. I mean, 2 years ago, we were in a similar situation. We went to Ibrox and won, and it effectively clinched the title for us. I'd love a carbon copy of that on Sunday. I think it'll be an interesting game, because I think we're like whispering it, but slowly but surely, we've actually turned a corner recently. And if we can just sort out the stupid defensive mistakes, which seem to happen when Carter Vickers isn't on the park, but if we can just sort that out, then somehow we kept a clean sheet against them in September. The last time we went to Ibrox, I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet this time. But as long as it's Tony got it spot on, as long as you don't invite them on, we're our own worst enemy. It happens to us in Europe. It happened to us the last time we went there and we got away with it. We just keep inviting them on, and as Tony said, the crowd are going to be, they're going to be up for it. Do you know what I mean? You don't need to worry about that. So you don't want to give them any encouragement, and we seem to hand out encouragement in spades. So if they could just keep the heat up it, keep the ball properly, and, you know, why no test Suter? Why no test Barisic or Yilmaz, whoever it is? Why no test having your rooftop? You're giving them the ball back, but if you're giving them the ball back in their half, we can always run it back. Our problem is we give the ball away 20 yards out for our end goal. So, get Maeda turning, get Kyogo. Kyogo's got pace over the tap. Their defence can't live with Kyogo. Is he showing that recently? No, just this season, but last season as well. So, if our best players play well, I think we'll win. And I don't know, I've been accused of being a defender of Rodgers and that on here, and I wouldn't argue with that. I think Rodgers might have something special lined up. He seems to get it right in these games, and I think he'll get it right again.
I certainly hope so. Much along the same lines as what a few years have said. I think it's very much a do not lose for Celtic. I think probably for either side, I think if you take 4 points from the final two derbies of the season, then it's probably going to be enough to just keep that advantage or the other one and win the league. I think Celtic are more than capable of, course we're more than capable of. As I said, we've took 6 points off them already this season, and a few have mentioned it, like there probably will be points dropped along the way, so I think that could come from both sides. They've obviously, as much as we've done it on quite a number of occasions, they obviously lost to Motherwell at home the other week, and there will be times in the split that they drop points as well. I just think that we're in a good place. Danny says it. I don't want to say we've turned the corner, because you just don't want to jinx it, because it feels like we have had a few false dawns this year, but I just think we've been playing pretty well. You've even had signings like Kuhn coming in and making an impact, and I think it's a massive game for guys like him. But Andy mentioned it at the get-off, there's a lot of our players, the likes of McGregor and Joe Hart and Carter Vickers and Greg Taylor, and like, there's so many more that have been there and won at Ibrox. They know what's needed to get us over the line, and they also know what's needed to get titles over the line as well. Like, there's this sort of myth that goes about with Rangers fans that this is first title race in 12 years. But people, like, 2 years ago, we were in a pretty similar position. Or it might have been Danny says it, but one, he said, and you're right, like the Ibrox game in Ange's first season when Tom Rogic and Cameron Carter-Vickers scored was so pivotal in bringing that league title home. And it's not going to be, like, if we go win 3-0 on Sunday, I'm not going to come on here and say the league's done, like, but it just gives you such a springboard and puts the finishing line much closer. But Andy, I'll come to you just in terms of lineup. Like you say, it seems close to picking itself. Just quickly run me through who your 11 would be. Obviously, in the sort of build-up, there have been people talking about whether guys like Carter Vickers, Hatate and McGregor would make it. Obviously, Carter Vickers and Hatate are looking more likely. Carter Vickers especially, that he managed the 90 minutes at Livingston. Hatate as well has got a bounce game behind him, plus over an hour at Livingston as well. So the one sort of question mark would be on Callum McGregor, but as has been mentioned on here, like the two derby games, Callum McGregor's probably been the man in the match in both of them. So how would you line up?
Yeah, I don't think you can understate the importance of McGregor, especially when he's on it. Like, he's phenomenal. Again, you can't put on paper experience and how important it is, but watching games like that, you know what? The belief that guys like McGregor bring to the team and that experience and is so important. So if he is fit enough, then I'd like to see him in, and I think it would be justified. And we've seen him do so much damage for obviously that position to what is in the new. And I do take on board what Tony has said, that it's harsh and on form. O'Reilly's probably been the worst, makes it sound like he's been shocking. He's not been great in terms of O'Reilly standards previously, but in a midfield three that played against Livy, he's probably in the poorest form out of the three of them between Iwata and Hitati. But I think given the way that we play, McGregor's probably best in that role, because it then gives you freedom to Hitati and O'Reilly, and I think he's got more legs as well than Iwata, which helps like recovery, sort of getting backwards, a bit pacier as well, which helps, because you know they're like, they're going to try and hit you on quick breaks and quick counters as well. And I think, I don't know, I just think his experience would be key in there. And as much as we've worried about McGregor going forward and how good he is in that role as well, I mean, it was a talking point, not only this season, it was a talking point last season as well, to be honest, that what if we put somebody in the six letter Watt and put McGregor one of the ones either side of him, and we've tried it and it's worked sometimes, and I'm saying it's not as well, and McGregor's brilliant going forward, but I think just for a game like this, gone there, I would like to see him in the six if he's fit and just play just ahead of the defence and sort of try and make his tick. I think that's where he'll be most effective. But as I say, the rest of the team probably does just pick itself, I think, going form. I know there was talk about Aida and Kyogo, but I don't know, you've seen the damage Kyogo's done to them. They fucking fear him. They really fear him anytime he gets the ball. And I think their backline are hesitant at times almost to step up, because they know if that ball goes out of the tap, he's getting there before they are. I think they know that, and there will be an opportunity for that to happen. They're at home, they need to come out, and they'll be trying to impose a game, and you will get that space, you will get the gaps. And I do think that it just seems to me the sort of type of game that Kyogo's not been in the form that we've seen him. He's not hit the heights. A lot of people talking about slave starting either and all that, but just to me, I feel that Kyogo's just going to play a massive role in the game come Sunday, and I think that'll be where we get that joy. Say Kuhn's been improving every time I've seen him. Just looks like a different player for the player that started the sort of first two games, but that can happen. Get to set up in new country, surroundings, language, the works, you know what it's like. But he's slowly but surely improving. He seems to be keen on taking a player on now, which is refreshing to see for a winger, because I thought for a moment in time that our wingers just didn't believe in doing that, because it seemed that nobody would face up a fullback and go at them. And Maeda, obviously he splits opinion, but you know what you get from him. The back line, again, it's one that if you're them, you're probably going to try and look at scales, and that's where you're going to try and get your joy. Let him have the ball, let him bring it out and try and sort of make a mess of the pass. Again, that's where I think there's importance in McGregor, because he's so comfortable at drafting, receiving it half one of the centre halves when somebody's tight on him, playing these short, sharp passes. So I think that's where it's obviously important. But I don't think I would tinker on that, and I wouldn't like to see too much tinkered with the lineup. But I think it really comes down to how fit McGregor is, and I don't see any more than one change to the team that started against Livy, and I'd probably support that as well.
You mentioned a few in there, obviously Adam Ida, who I was talking to you in the group chat. I don't know if I would say in place of Kyogo, because as you mentioned, Kyogo's just absolutely dynamite. He comes to life in these derby games, and I'll bring Tony in a minute, because I know he finds it, he always says I bring it up every week when Kyogo fails to score away from home in the league, but as 11 league games away from home without a goal for Kyogo, so I can understand if people maybe wanted Adam Ida involved at some point. I think that his type of physical presence and his link-up play as well would be really important, and I think he's got real attributes that could cause their centre-halves a lot of trouble. I think Bolton and Suter are two that it doesn't take much to rough them up and just sort of get joy out of them. You've seen, like I mentioned, that Motherwell game at Ibrox a few weeks ago where they won that Oifio Bear. He seemed to give him a bit of a torrid time, and I think Ida will have a big part to play, even if that is off the bench. I think he's just, like, you know, a lot of people, when Giakoumakis was here, really sort of a lot preferred him playing in these games because of the trouble he caused Rangers centre-halves, but it obviously remains to be seen what Ida will do against him. But I think he could have a massive part to play. On Callum McGregor, I think it's a tough one, because it was 28th of February, that Dundee game that he went off at, and I think his last touch of the ball was actually the goal he scored just before half-time in that game to put 6-0 up. And
So that's obviously going to be over a month, five, 6 weeks that he's missed. And McGregor's not the type that's listed and paced that you're going to need fully up to speed. And as I mentioned, I think he was man of the match in both of the games that we've beat Rangers this season. It's a tough one as well, because I think you're right about Tomoki Iwata. I think this is his longest run of starts in the team. I think that's six starts in a row he's had. And apart from the Hearts game, which I think Danny mentioned, he was pretty poor that day. But apart from that, he's really sort of equipped himself fairly well. And I think there is talk about, to be had about guys like Matt O'Reilly, because you mentioned on here a few weeks ago about his form sort of dropping since like this sort of second half of the season. But even you look at that on Sunday, I thought he was pretty poor on Sunday, but then he comes away with a goal and an assist, so I don't think you can really drop him. And Itati just has to start from you. If he's fit, he starts. I think you could see it in the first 10 minutes against Livingston, just what he brings to the midfield. It just looks so much livelier. He's always on the move, looking for the ball, looking to make things happen. I just don't see any way that he doesn't just go straight in if he's ready to go, and I fully expect he was. I think the plan would have been to get 60 minutes and his legs on Sunday, and look, to do that on the Livingston pitch as well. He's obviously came through it and looking good. And even if you can even have a shout for a guy like Paolo Bernardo, obviously comes off the bench and plays well on Sunday, gets a goal, was so pivotal in the last Derby game at Celtic Park as well when he opened the scoring. It's a really tough one. Tony, who would your starting 11 be? Like, as Andy mentioned, I don't think there'll be too many changes. Do you think it possibly would be Cal McGregor coming in? And if so, who would he be replacing for you?
I think if McGregor's fit, he will replace Iwata. I think the team will be Hart, Johnson, Scales, Vickers, Taylor. I think unless there's any last minute injuries, that's the definite back five. If McGregor's fit, he'll probably slot in then Hitati and O'Reilly, and then the front three, I'm pretty confident, will be Maeda, Kyogo and Kuhn. I hope he doesn't try anything fancy like Forrest for the start. To be fair, I think Forrest's been really, really good when he's come on as a sub recently. I think he's looked a really good player, to be fair. I don't know if Rodgers maybe tweaked something. I just think when he's come on, he's been really efficient, which is good. I think the good thing is, you're talking about Ida, and I was laughing when I heard you saying that Kyogo's no scored away from home in the league since October, which is a terrible start. It's really poor for him, and you think about it, but the places he has scored over the couple of years he's been here, he's usually scored a lot of big goals away from home. I wouldn't be surprised to see him pop up on Sunday. I think Kyogo starts. I think he needs to play. I don't mind Big Ida, but I think he gives you another option later in the game, irrespective of the score. If you're chasing it, you can bring him on and go two up front. If you want to kind of see it out and you're looking to go long, then you can use him. And even if it's a draw, you can bring him on. They can be used to your advantage as well. I think the good thing is, you're now looking at the bench and going, right, Bernardo can come on, he can play. Ida can come on, he could be effective. Forrest has looked lively, so you could say he could maybe play a part later in the game. Yang can come on, and he's looked lively when he's played recently, apart from just about taking somebody's head off at Hearts. I'm only joking, that was a Hearts decision. But if it was me, I'm a bit iffy about playing Hitati and McGregor if the two of them are near 100%. Because if we get overrun in the midfield, we'll be fucked. We'll have had it. So I think we need to be really careful. And as I say, I think Iwata's looked good. I really like Iwata. So it's good to have options, though. As I say, if McGregor's benched, he can come on and make an impact. If Hitati or Riley Iwata, if any of them find themselves in the bench, I'm sure obviously one of them will, then they can come on and make an impact. So Iwata came on, I believe, in the League Cup final. And then in the semi-final against Rangers at Hampden, both times he came on, the first thing he done was blast the ball out of play. But then after that, he settled really well, and we won both those games. So it's good to have options, for sure. But I think if McGregor's fit, I mean, I don't see Rodgers not playing him. He's the captain. He's played, I don't know how many Derby games McGregor's played. It would be probably 30, 40, 50, I don't know, a lot. And he's won the majority of them. So if he's fit and he's ready to go, I'm happy for him to be thrown in. But I just don't want to risk him either. And see, he plays and that finishes his season, and you maybe need him for other big games coming up, like Rangers at Celtic Park, Hearts at Celtic Park, and Kelly away. Those are the kind of the three big ones post-split. No disrespect to St Mirren or Dundee, who I think will probably be the other teams in the top six, but they're the ones you would probably focus on. So No, as I say, it's nice to be able to discuss the team and be gone. Is it going to be Mikey Johnson playing, or is it going to be, I don't know, somebody fucking mental? So, we've got the players there to kick on and get the result, and the squad to allow Rodgers to make decisions in game as well. I'm with Danny. I'm a big fan of Brendan. I know a lot of people don't like him, and maybe come the season end, whatever happens, he might need to leave. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. I think he's underperformed this season. I couldn't argue against him getting sacked if the league doesn't go away. But I do like him. I think his record in the derby is very good, and I still think he is a good football manager, and that won't change regardless what happens on Sunday. So hopefully he's got another wee Ibrox party up his sleeves for us, and we'll see how it goes.
Definitely. And Danny, what would your sort of starting 11 be? And as Tony said, is it just as important, the sort of strength we've got coming off the bench now? Guys like Adam Ida, Paolo Bernardo, Yang. Like I think Yang especially, like him for me, I think if it wasn't for that red card, we'd probably be talking the same way we are about Nicholas Kuhn now, about Yang in terms of getting into this game. But obviously he had to miss a couple and Kuhn's took his opportunity. But is it just as important that we've got that sort of strength and depth off the bench for Sunday as well?
Aye, it's, you don't, like, look at the bench the last time we went there. Who came off the bench? I think we ended up with Ralston, Burnaby as part of the back four. Don't get me wrong, Ralston's never really let us doing that. But Odin Holm came off the bench right there. I'm pretty sure Turnbull started that game, didn't he? But, and O came on as well. But you're kind of like, who's coming off the bench to change the game for us? And luckily we were 1-0 up at that point. Burnaby nearly changed in the wrong direction. But I'm with Tony. I think I'd play that 11. I don't think there's any question about Ida or Kyogo at the minute. I think Ida's offers is something different. He'll have a part to play later on in the game. I've got no doubt about that. But Kyogo, I actually think Kyogo's played really well recently. I thought he was really unlucky on Sunday. Keeper made a great save to stop him scoring. Should have had a penalty, but for whatever reason, we never got it. John Beaton wasn't VAR, so we didn't have the eagle eyes. But after the bench on Sunday, you could be looking at a lot. It's funny Tony said that about the League Cup final, because that was the first thing I remembered about the matter. I was, he just came out, volleyed him out of the park, and then thinking, oh God, there we go. And then he actually played really well for the last 15 minutes. So he could be very useful. I think he'd be very harshly, very unlucky to be dropped. But I was going to say, this is the first time I can remember us playing them in a while when we've had everybody fit, and we've no, because Hattati and McGregor, and I know Hattati came back last week, but you can't be 100%. McGregor's no fit. We never really, this season, seem to have went into a game against them with a full team. It's so frustrating. And Tony's right, do you risk both McGregor and Hattati? For me, if McGregor's fit to be on the bench, he'll play. I don't think he would ever leave McGregor out. But Hattati played really well. Do you know, some of the fit in the first half, and we weren't too bad on Sunday. I know some folk were kind of panicking at half-time, but I actually thought the pace of play was a lot better. The space that we took up was a lot better. And it was all through Hattati being quickly getting the ball forward. And do you risk that on Sunday? I tend to think Hattati's isn't much better for the start than he is coming on. I think it's worth it. I think this is such a big game. It's worth it. I think if McGregor and Hattati are both fit to play, should play both of them. After the bench, I mean, Yang's been unlucky. He was coming right onto a game before he got sent off Hearts. But Kuhn's took his chance, and Kuhn's been really, really good in the last couple of games. I've always seen it against Livingston in the Cup, and we were all saying to ourselves, we need to see that for him more. We need to see more of that for him. That's got to be the standard. And to be fair to him, it has been. I thought it was him and Hattati were two best players at the weekend. He looks to be playing with a bit more confidence. He looks like he's got something about him. It appears to be working a lot harder as well than what we've seen from before that. But I've got to say, and then you've got Ida who can come on and change the game up front. He's come on before at half-time or second half and changed the game. He's contributed. He'll give them something different to think about later on. But I could see Ida having a part to play, you know, last 15, 20 minutes if we do need a goal. Or if we're drawn, he can bring him on, he can hold the ball up, bring people into play. Because his link-up play was really good. I thought he had a great game against Hearts. I must admit, I thought his link-up play was outstanding, him and Kyogo. And every time he got the ball, he tried to bring somebody into the game. So you're going to need that at Ibrox. Hopefully, you know, we'll be a couple of goals up at the time. But we're in a better situation than, you know, what we ought to be at this point. And Tony saying, you know, he's surprised we're no further behind. But, you know, we were 8 clear at one point. And to have ourselves this situation is a bit of a kick in the teeth considering the gap we had at the start of the season, but we've got a right good, it's still in our horns to put it right, you know, and Sunday's got to be huge for that, but we seem to be in better shape than what we were a couple of weeks ago, so hopefully, well, I just hope that we keep, A, we keep 11 men in the park, B, we all stay fit to do a bit of damage for us, and then we can bring on the options that we've got on the bench, and like, just what to reiterate what Tony said about Forrest, that Forrest's been really good since he's come on recently, and it's no him, you know, I'm not his biggest fan, but it can't be him going forward, but surely in our squad there's got to be room for somebody that can come on with 25 minutes to go and just run, just be direct at people, especially the packed defence. Surely there's got to be space in our squad for somebody that can do that. Possibly no Forrest because he's the wrong side of 30 now, a bit like myself, but surely we've got every room for somebody that can do that, and Forrest has been quite good at that recently. So, you know, don't get me wrong, if you're needing a goal in a sense for Forrest, you know, you're thinking, fuck's sake, is this where we're at? But I just think Brett Rogers gets something up his sleeve. I don't know if it's a tactical surprise or I don't know what it is. I think he'll come in prepared, and I think we'll be prepared as well. But I really hope McGregor makes it because he's been outstanding against him this season.
Aye, definitely. As I said, I think for me, he was my man of the match in both of the previous encounters this season. So I think just, aye, you're right. I think if he's fit, he's not going to start on the bench. He's either going to start or he's not going to be in the squad at all. Just aye, on what he says, I think the bench is strong even with Forrest. Like, you're right, like, he's not a future for us, but he's been useful the last few times he's come on. We've got, sort of got opposite ends of the spectrum. We've got Forrest, who's nearing the end of his Celtic career, and even got a young guy like Daniel Kelly, who's equipped himself really well as well. So I think that is really going to be pivotal for us on Sunday, the fact that we'll be able to use five subs that can come on and make a real impact. I think that it sort of reminds me of, like, last season when we went there in the January and we were 2-1 down, and then we brought on guys like Giakoumakis and Moy and Jota, and I'm not saying the players that will come off the bench on Sunday are at that level, but they're very capable of making an impact, and like that got us back in the game that day. So I'm hoping that hopefully we'll be free up and it won't really matter who comes off the bench, but I think we've got the players that can make an impact. Speaking of people that can make an impact, Tony, I'll come to you. The day it was announced that everybody's favourite John Beaton will be the referee for Sunday's game, obviously his sort of last involvement with Celtic was recommending that Don Robertson send off Yang and give a penalty against Tomoki Iwata as well at Tynecastle a few weeks ago, and that obviously led to Brendan Rodgers naming him in his post-match press conference, that obviously led to him getting a 2-game ban with 1-game suspended. If you get any worries with that announcement, and do you think it's just a case of Celtic need to just do what they need to do and forget about beating?
Well, I think Brendan Rodgers was banned for calling an incompetent. I think an incompetent is actually a compliment to somebody like John Beaton. I think there was a lot made of Brendan's kind of, I don't want to say trial, that sounds a bit dramatic, whatever it was, his hearing last week, and you've seen the kind of usual blog saying Dermot Desmond's going to take the SFA to task and the Celtic board aren't they putting up with this, and it was all pretty much bollocks. As far as I'm aware, the SFA are terribly run. I don't think there's a fan of any clubs in the country that would be upset to see them totally wiped out and we start again from scratch with different people in charge. I think all fans think the referees are incompetents. Some fans think they're cheats and some fans think they're just totally shite. So for me, if Celtic wanted to wipe out the SFA, they could have done it long ago. It wouldn't be difficult to totally upheave and change the people who run the game. I mean, we're the biggest club in the country, and I think it would be easily done. I just don't think they want to. I think that, as I say, there was a big deal made that our board are going to take them to task and do this and do that. Brendan's still got a ban for Livingston and he's still suspended, and then they put Don Robertson in, who is a Celtic fan. I know people will be listening to this going, that's totally absurd, but Don Robertson is a Celtic fan. A shite referee, by the way, a totally shite referee. But they put him in for Livy as if they say, well, you criticised him, so you're getting him. And then they put Beaton in for the Rangers game. And it kind of feels like, oh, well, fuck yous, how dare you call us incompetents there. They're a wee bit like our board in that respect, whereby if you criticise them, they take the humph and can't really take it. and they just try and punish whoever's criticised them. So the Celtic board are getting a bit of their own medicine, I suppose. Another shower of incompetence. I can see Danny sending the chat saying he's got the board in. Okay, look, even if we win the double, I'll still be taking a swipe at them. I think, again, if Celtic wanted to raise any clear issues about this, I'm sure they could. For me, I hope it's not something we're talking about after the game. I said it already, if we don't win the league, it'll not be because of referees, it'll be because of the board. So hopefully we just... I think Danny said it before, John Beaton kind of game manages our games at times where he chops up the play. And I do feel as though at times, whenever there's a... We have a goal kicked since Fars came in, they always make his way. They don't do that with other teams. They always make his way, and it kind of slows us down a bit, which is very frustrating. I thought the penalty against it, I can't believe I didn't mention it when we done me and Andy done the 10-second podcast on Sunday, and I apologise to one of our Instagram followers, I think Steele Kelly, who dug us up about that. I apologise for the short episode. Forgot to mention that. I mean, that was a clear penalty in Kyogo. He clatters into the back of him and doesn't get the ball. So, VAR, I think, has been a bit of a mess, to be honest. I've said it since well before the podcast started. I don't think I think Beaton's a bit of a cheat, I must admit. I think he is a cheat. And look, if I was managing Celtic games or refereeing Celtic games, I'd be a cheat as well. I wouldn't give the 100 and I'd be fucking sending their players off in the tunnel. So I get it. I just think the referees as a whole, I don't want to say they're all cheats. I think that kind of diminishes the argument. I think they're fucking absolutely abysmal. They're shite at their jobs, and if they all get sacked tomorrow, I wouldn't complain. Either make them go full-time, upskill them, or bring in people that can do the job. That would be my take on referees. But if you think Celtic or Dermot Desmond or the board are going to take on the SFA, then you've not really been paying attention to the fact that the only people they want to take on are their own fans. So hopefully Beaton just doesn't act a cunt and we can play a good game and get a massive 3 points for Celtic. So that's my kind of take on it.
Danny, you get any worries about it? I was talking to you just before we started recording, saying does it in a way put more pressure on Beaton to know fuck Celtic or because the world are watching, and obviously with Roger's comments fresh in his ear, will he be under even more pressure?
It's quite funny because when I was listening to Tony speak there, I was reading a couple of views on Twitter from the other side, and they are convinced that this is, we've put pressure on them and this is us putting pressure on Beaton, saying that you need to basically ref the game fairly on Sunday. I don't know. I think there's much ado about that. And I think Beaton knows what he's doing at times. The penalty that we got, the thing about Sundays is, you know, like Kyogo, it's as clear a foul as you're ever going to see. The boy, he beats the boy at the ball. The boy brings him down right through the back of him. It's just like, you shouldn't need VAR for that. Do you know what I mean? But there's a culture in Scotland now where refs just don't give decisions. They do not give a decision at all. And they think, well, if I'll just play on because VAR will back me up or VAR will tell me to go and watch it. And they're all at it. And supposed best of the best, Nick Walsh, is the absolute worst for it. I don't think the guy's blew his whistle since VAR came in. And the problem with that is when you've got eagle eyes watching VAR at Tynecastle, I mean, there's still no video proof that Yang actually collides with, like, actually kicks that boy in the face. If anything, there's evidence that he doesn't touch him. So a booking was probably right, but no. Okay, and then the penalty that we get given against us, you can't, like, John Beaton's went looking for an excuse to get a penalty against us. That's what worried me that day, because it was never in a million years, it was never a penalty. And then we don't get that one on Saturday, Sunday, and it's just like, well, you know, how else are you meant to kind of conclude? It seems to be we get all the bad ones, be our decisions, all the harsh ones, that, but the letter of the law, this, but the letter of the law, that. But when it happens to us, you know, it's like, oh, well, when we should get a penalty, it's like the worst fucking thing in the world. Well, when we do get a penalty, you know, you've got Rangers players tripping Celtic players for the most textbook free kicks that lead to goals that get chopped off, and we're getting told it's clear, no, it's no clear novice, but if a guy fouls something, goes on and scores, it's a pretty obvious error. Again, though, Don Robertson didn't blow the whistle because these refs don't blow whistles now. And then you've got Seema been offside, quite clear cut been offside. They don't get a penalty. They still bump their gums about it, you know, and then they've got the cheek to say we are paranoid and whatever. So having said that, as I said before we started talking, the ref only really influences the game if you let him, especially. So if Celtic are pish, on Sunday, I fully expect Beaton to take advantage of that. But I feel sometimes, like Tony said, I did say before, he does get in the way of games. And I remember one at Ibrox where he basically was, you know, he seen the game out for them really well. I mean, it's the wee stupid fouls that add up over the course of the 90-odd minutes. So, but to answer your question, I don't think there's any pressure, any more pressure on him. Tony's right. Celtic, okay, if Celtic get beat, they might come out and say something. But it could be absolutely fucking awful and Celtic get away with a 1-0 or a 0-0 each. And they're not going to bring it up. So, I don't know. It's all lined up for us to get a penalty, he says jokingly. But Darren, am I right in saying that Beaton refed the 2 each game? He did, didn't he?
Aye.
Is that his last?
As far as I can remember, aye.
So, I mean, apart from the obvious, you know, missing a Stonewall penalty for Celtic and getting Rangers a penalty, I thought he'd a decent game that day. So I find it odd that they've completely taken Colum away from the spotlight at Rangers' behest, but they've threw Don Robertson and now John Beaton back under so quickly. So who knows, maybe Brendan will have something to talk about after a game, or maybe we'll only, but again, I hope to God that we're not talking about John Beaton on Sunday night.
I certainly hope not, and it's, as you say, that 2 each game last season at Ibrox was the last time, and obviously Goldson was allowed to play basketball, but apart from that, it wasn't even a game with that many bookings. I think I'm just reading back there, Starfelt and Ryan Jack get booked in injury time, but that was the only bookings in the game. And although saying that, I still don't think it was a penalty on Sakala. I think that Starfield, I don't know what America could do, but I'm not going to go back over old ground. But I think Celtic will just, I think there's a, you shouldn't get away with much with VAR, but you never know. It sort of depends who's looking for what. But I think you're right about refs being scared to use a whistle and just waiting for assistance, and sometimes that doesn't come. But I'll be quite depressed if we're on here Sunday night or Monday night talking about Beaton, because it's probably going to mean that he's done us. But well, just before we get to predictions, we'll go into the allocations, because obviously on Friday it was announced that between the SPFL and Celtic and Rangers there'd been sort of agreement for both teams to give each other around 5% of their ground for away supporters. It's no starting this weekend or in the game in the split. It's going to start from 24-25 season. So I believe we'll see between 2,500 and 3,000 fans that Ibrox and Celtic Park. There's been a lot of talk, Tony, about who backed down and who done what. I don't know about you, but for me, it's just a victory for the fans that go up and down. For no way, key Rangers fans credit, but they've obviously got supporters like us who go the length and breadth of the country, and for the last few years have missed out in these games because of the stupidity that's been caused with the allocations. So finally a bit of common sense been seen there in getting allocations back to a somewhat reasonable level.
Well, I think that's it. I think you'll have our fans who say, oh, never want to let them in again, and some of their fans are the same way as. But I think in terms of a spectacle, and the Scottish game's bad enough without having its biggest game just all one-sided and not having any away fans. I think I've said it a billion times, there's nothing better than beating them at Ibrox. I was at the last game of the Free Broomland when Edwards scored, and it was just fucking brilliant. Nothing better than be surrounded with 40,000 of them fucking shouting their bile, and then you get to just stick your fucking 2 fingers up to them and walk away with 3 points. It's a great feeling. So for me, I think it's a step in the right direction. I know I see some people actually quite annoyed because 5% means they'll get more than us. And if that gets people that usually like your board turned against them, I'm all for it, but it doesn't bother me at all. It really doesn't. I think 5% is better than the 700. I think the 700 was safe. I know you managed to get a ticket in there, Darren, through one of your friends in hospitality, and he says people can have the Buckfast bottles and fuck knows what. So I think 2,500 is more manageable. And I think it's a good thing. Much as people don't want them in their stadium, I can understand that, but it's a derby, and I remember there was 7,500 of them at Celtic Park, and we locked them in and beat them 5-0, so stuff like that. I mean, it's great when you win and shite when you lose, but that's football, unfortunately. So for me, overall, I'm happy, and hopefully it can lead to getting back towards kind of 10% and whatever else. So I'm looking forward to the derbies next season, but I'm fully focused on the one on Sunday.
I definitely, and as you say, I was at that one last year, and for a long time I sort of thought it'd be the last away supporter for a while before we had allocations back. So it's like I say, I think it's good for those that go up and down the country, and it's good for the team as well, because obviously 700 are there, then you do hear them when you're in the ground, but only really if you're winning. And I think it does add to the spectacle as well. You're going to hear 2,500 a lot more than you would hear the 700. Danny, you much to say on that as well? As I say, I think it's just a bit of common sense, and I don't know if Tony's been too optimistic. I think it will get back to the sort of older allocations, but it does look like it's finally a wee bit of sense.
It's a start, isn't it? I mean, I've been to Ibrox once, and it was the Samaras game in 2011, just before I turned 18. It was brilliant, and it has lost where it was. You know, it's almost became a kind of home win. I know we've just went there and won, and we're talking about us going there and winning on Sunday, but it's not been what it was. Like, I mean, me and you were at the first game with the 700, and me and you were right next to them, Dan, and it felt a wee bit like that because you were so close. But when you see it, it's just not the same spectacle it was. And don't get us wrong, it's not like you want to be, you know, it's not like you want to see them in their thousands or whatever, you know what I mean, or listen to them. But to say that it doesn't add to the spectacles, that it would be lying. So I would love to get back to the old allocations. I think basically Rangers need to grow up. But we've got a situation, the new where we're at, and they'll probably end up getting it. I mean, the wording on the statement said around 5%, so there's no doubt they'll stop people greeting. They'll probably be 2,500 each, I would imagine, and they'll just go on with it. And if, to be fair to the Rangers fans who make out they've been stuck in a corner, they're going to know exactly what been stuck in a corner's all about now, because they will be right around there. But whatever they get will be stuck in that corner. So we'll see how long this lasts before something else happens. But I'm just glad there's a bit of common sense, because I know a lot of good boys that went there for years, and you know, suddenly all the away games are getting taken away from them. So can I get the biggest one back as a boost for them and roll on next season? I know the first one will be at Celtic Park, but I know there's a few already who are looking forward to going next year. So it's a start, and hopefully we can get back to the old ones before too long, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
No, the first one will be Ibrox next season, because we are last game at Celtic Park this season, so first one will be Ibrox. Aye, as we still say, a bit of common sense there. Right, we're hitting about the 1 hour mark, so a lot longer than Sunday's episode. I'm sure you'll be glad to hear.
Wait a minute. That's not true, because the last game last season was at Ibrox, and the first game this season was at Ibrox.
You play two in a row. First one's the same place.
I thought it alternated. Apologies.
No, because then you would just do the same pattern every season. First game would always be Ibrox, and the last game would always be Parkhead. Which would suit us after the split, but it doesn't work that.
Fact check you there.
That's right. I don't want a community note under this podcast, just letting it know that it's fake news. But move on to predictions now. It has been an hour we've been on, so Andy had to shoot off. I'll give him his shout first. He said 3-1 to Celtic. You'll go to score a double, and he has got John Beaton awarding Rangers a penalty. And I think I was reading the great Lint on Twitter, who says since the 18-19 season, he has given Rangers 10 penalties and only seen them concede one. And that was that one that ruined their 75-game run. We had one that I think the SPFL came out and apologised for and says it was a mistake, which is quite funny.
Beaton gave us a penalty in the 5-1 game.
Aye, that was 16-17.
16-17, God. Right, carry on.
We're all at this. This really is a fake news podcast. But aye, the only one he's gave since 18-19 was that one Kilmarnock got that the SPFL then came out and apologised for getting a penalty against them, or at least admitted it was a mistake. So aye, Andy says 3-1, Celtic, you'll go getting a double. I'll go next. I don't know, I thought I was going to come in here and predict a draw, but I've got more optimistic as the episodes went on. I'm going to go 2-1 Celtic. I think that Diogo will finally shut me up and stop me coming up with that stupid away form it is, and I think he'll get the opener. And as I said, I think the subs will be so important, and I think that Adam Ida will come off the bench and get the winner late on. I think it'll be quite dramatic. I think it'll be pretty close. I don't think there's much between the teams, but as Danny sort of convinced me that Rodgers is going to go there with a tactical masterclass, and we're going to get a very important 3 points. Tony, what's your prediction?
I mean, I thought I was going to come into this a couple of weeks ago predicting a Rangers win. I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't think I predicted a Celtic win in the derbies yet, and we've won both of them. So for superstition reasons, I'm going to predict, my official prediction will be one each. But I wouldn't be surprised if we won 3-0. With a Kyogo double and a Kun goal. So, but we'll go for one each with Kyogo scoring and then Tavernier filling me a penalty. And also, just to clarify, the 5-1 game wasn't it beaten, it gave us a penalty. I had to look to his linesman, useless cunt. So, one each.
We bring the facts as well as the fake news. But Danny, you go round us off with a positive prediction.
Hey, I think it'll be, I'll go 2-1 Celtic, and I think it'll be, I think Kun will score. And then I think they'll equalise. And then Adam Ida will head her in at James Forrest cross with 5 minutes to go. They won his game. And just remember that, because it was probably the most stupidest penalty that we've ever got in my life, because the ball was going nowhere and that Miles Bierman decided just to chop Paddy Roberts down when he was going absolutely nowhere. So John, you can see, the funny thing was, there was a big skid mark. It was like inside the box, and beating still had to look to the fourth official before getting it. So, or the linesman, can't remember, but whatever. But I can't believe that was 7 years ago now. That is scary. But hopefully we have another day at Ibrox to remember like that. It's, I know we've quoted him a few times, but Lint has put a tweet out saying that I think Rodgers has got a better win percentage at Ibrox than Clement has. So let's hope that stays the same as Sunday.
And just on that one, Bierman gave a penalty away. I always remember the Rangers TV commentary from that day, even they knew it was a penalty. So I can't mind who it was. It was on CoComs, it was Tom Miller himself, but you just hear him go, oh, that's like, it was just a massive gulp. And the fact that it was that stonewall and it even had to go to the linesman was mental. But hopefully we do get another one and put it away, although I think a lot of people were sort of no happy that we didn't get a penalty on Sunday, but we've relieved that they didn't need to step up and watch us miss another one, which seems to be the story of the season, missing penalties. But I have some positive predictions in there, and let us know what you think the score's going to be, whether you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just let us know. Anybody gets the spot on, we'll hear you. We shout out next week when hopefully we're recording a celebratory episode and a review of the game. But if you've made it this far, thank you very much for taking the time to listen. As I said, just make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just search for Four Times in a Podcast and you'll be up to date with all the latest content. Thanks for all the support. Cheers. Hail, hail.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.